Hey, good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. How you guys doing today? What a great day, man. What a great day to be together. Welcome again to LifePoint Church. My name's Mike. I get to serve as lead pastor. Hey, I want to give a special shout out to everyone who's joining us online through our live stream, whether on YouTube or Facebook, also on our Vimeo site later throughout the week or our website, and our North Clarksville campus who is joining us today. Our Austin Peay campus is closed for the Christmas break, but also folks at San Antonio and Tacoma, Washington. We love being one church in many places, as well as to all of you who are first-time guests. Can we say what's up to our church family, everybody? Come on. So glad that you're here. Well, hey, my name is Mike. Again, I get to serve as our pastor here, and what a pleasure to greet all of you at this Christmas time. So we are on the tail end of our Christmas at LifePoint series. We have been in a season of Advent. Everybody say Advent. So the Christmas season is actually Christmas Eve through January 6th, and so the season up until Christmas is called Advent. It's this time of waiting and preparation for the appearance of Christ, the Lord, the baby Jesus, right? And so all of creation prior to Jesus coming was in a long perpetual season of Advent, of waiting. And so every year as we prepare for Christmas, we remember that time of waiting on the coming of Jesus. And with that comes four themes of Advent that we focus on, and we've been doing that for the last couple weeks. And today we get to join with churches all around the world, literally focusing in on these final themes of Advent. So the first one is the theme of hope, that this coming of the Christ would bring hope to the world in an otherwise hopeless and broken world and society that we live in. Second is the theme of peace. I preached on that last week. In fact, I made a statement last week. I said, peace is not prepare. If you want peace, not preparing for war, but preparing to surrender your life to Christ. And then you'll have peace with God and peace with others. Today, we are looking at the final themes of Advent. I've titled the message, Joy to the World. We're looking at the final two themes of Advent, which are joy, and finally, we're going to look at the theme of love. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I think these two go together so well because joy, as a way of life, as an emotion, as a way of responding to things, often leads us to expressing our love. And so we're going to see how that happened in the scripture as well. So I've titled the message, Joy to the World. How many of you are a fan of that old Christmas carol? Are you in a talkative mood today? I can't really tell. Help a brother out. Come on, North Clarksville campus. Help me talk back at the screen. I appreciate that. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let the whole earth receive the King. Come on, somebody. That's what this song is about. And honestly, this theme of Advent, joy, and then the theme of love, two of my favorite of the whole four themes of Advent, hope, peace, love, and joy. The reason I did them together is they flow so well together. Our joy becomes an expressible emotion and an expressible reality, and often it's expressed in love. When you're joyful about something, you tend to love the thing you're joyful about, right? If you're joyful about a relationship, you show your love for the person that you have joy for as well. So does anybody get annoyed at joyful people? Like I think it's really hard to repel joy. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's Buddy the Elf. It's hard to overdo joy. And the reason that we even get repelled by Buddy the Elf is because he's so joyful and we're not. We're typically grumpy and curmudgeons, right? Like we have issues and we got struggling. Buddy the Elf just sees the glass not only half full, but overflowing full all the time. Joy is not something that is a repellent to most of us. Sometimes love is because we carry baggage or we have issues, but joy is one of those things that everyone likes and enjoys. So today my hope is if you're a grump, you might feel a little better by the end of the message. If you're came in here fighting with your spouse on your way to church, not like that ever happens to any of us, yelling at your kids, get ready, we're leaving now. I'm going to the car, I'll be there when you come. Jesus, I'm coming to worship you. Anybody that happens on your way to church Sunday mornings, just the pastor? That's why I drive separate. See what I did there? I come in early so I don't fight my kids, you know? But my hope today is if you came in fighting with your family or you got reasons not to be joyful, that today will change that for you. I want to start by looking at one of the most famous Christmas passages, and we're going to look at two texts today, one in Luke and one in Matthew, to look at joy and love and how love overflows by expression. But joy, as we get into this, we see this time of great joy in the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 2. By the way, I want to remind you, as you get to opening presents on Wednesday with your family, before you open any gifts, I want to challenge you to open the Gospel first and just study it and read it together as a family or with your coworkers or friends before you do gifts and just say, hey, the greatest gift ever given was actually Jesus, and we want to open that first and focus in on that. That's just an encouragement for you as you maybe incorporate that as a new tradition in your family. But in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, we have This really interesting story. Now, in that same region, which is the region of the Galilee, or the region near Nazareth, Bethlehem, Judea, Jerusalem, etc. In that same region, there were shepherds out in a field, and they were keeping watch of their flock by night. Now, middle of the night, shepherds. It's kind of a simple profession in terms of like very repetitive. You're dealing with sheep. They don't talk back. It's kind of great, actually, for a loner and an introvert. They're in the middle of the night keeping watch of their sheep. Now, their job is to protect, cover, guard, watch them, lead them to water and great pastures. Middle of the night, and it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. This is an unusual night of sheep watching. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and then it says, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were freaking out. It didn't say they were startled. It says they were filled with great fear, like probably went running for their lives, thinking UFOs, alien abduction, something crazy, probably something that's never happened in their lives. They're in the middle of the night watching their sheep, boom, an angel and all this glory shining. They are freaking out, filled with great fear. So the angel, being a good angel, says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Yesterday, we were getting ready for service, and one of our team members was in our staff lounge doing some copying and cutting and stuff, and she didn't know I was here. I'd come into the building before service last night for our dream team, and I walked by, and I heard her in there, and I just popped around the corner and went, boom! She jumped off the ground, grabbed her heart, and I go, don't be afraid, it's just me. I was trying to be biblical here, like an angel. Don't fear, for behold, it is I, Pastor Mike. Anyway, sorry. Read your Bible. Do what it says, right? Come on now. All right. Here's what the angel says to these freaking out shepherds in the middle of the night watching their sheep. He said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and this will be for all people. Everybody say, all people. This good news and this great joy is for you. It's for everyone you know. It's for everyone you like. It's for everyone you don't like. It's for all your coworkers, all your neighbors, all your family. This is good news. It is great joy, and it's for everybody. Now, why in the world did he come and tell this to shepherds? Such a random group to come to, don't you think? Like, so far, this is all a secret. Heaven knew what was going on. They've so far told Mary, it's good, the woman going to carry Jesus, that she knows about it. And they told her fiance, Joseph, and then heaven meets together, like, who can we tell? It's like God couldn't hold a secret. So he goes to this private group of shepherds in the middle of the night. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you, it's for the whole world. He didn't tell kings and priests and presidents and leaders on the news channels. He tells the lowest group of people in the world. In the middle of the night, people with little to no influence. I love that about God, that he cares about folks who think they're nobody in places where they think they're never seen. God chose to start telling the whole world this good news of great joy that's for everyone. He started telling it to a bunch of shepherds in the middle of the night. That alone is such a great picture of who our God is. Here's the story. I've got good news for you, and it's gonna be great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now these guys, these shepherds near Jerusalem, are gonna be Jewish people, and they're gonna know the language of Christ, of Messiah, of Anointed One. And they've been hearing centuries of prophecy saying that one day a Messiah would come. He'd be our healer, deliverer, forgiver, our Savior, our Redeemer, our filler. He would be all of these things. And when the angel used the word Christ, it was so loaded with theology for these folks. He said, don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. I've got great joy for everyone. And here's what he promises, that this joy, this Christ, this Savior of the world would be the fullness of joy from God for all people. What that means is that you and I can find joy with God, can find joy in brokenness, joy in this world when we center our affections on this Christ, the Lord. The whole world, all people were waiting on the coming of Jesus. And if you've not met the Lord yet, you're still waiting on Jesus, and you'll never have full joy. You'll never have hope, peace, and love from God if you don't have Jesus. Hope and peace in the middle of the pain of this life is full when Christ would appear. When I think of the word joy, it's a positive word, right? Like, it's good news of great joy. It's not a word anybody balks at. It's not a word that anybody has, like, issues with. It feels good. It lifts your spirit even to say it. Joy to the world. There are different ways that people have tried to interpret the meaning of joy. Some think it's basic happiness or elation or the ability to laugh. But honestly, I think a better definition of joy from the scripture is a deep sense of connectedness and contentment that's connected to the Lord. It's a blessed happiness. It's an excitement that doesn't make sense based on what's happening around us. It's deeper than external realities. It's an eternal reality that because I'm connected to God, I have a blessed happiness with God no matter what. Because how many of you know our world can bring a lot of pain? Do y'all live in the same world as me? You're just not talking it. That's what it is. I get it. How many of you know our world has a lot of pain? And there's a lot of things that steal our joy. It might be divorce, disease, poverty, family issues, addiction, financial pressure, addiction, deployments, relationship tensions. There's some things that bring us temporary joy, like your family, your relationship, your kids, working out, hunting, shooting things, stuff made by Apple. All you green bubble people, you don't even know what I'm talking about right now. Singing, coffee from Starbucks. Come on, old school, like a grown man. Black coffee from Starbucks. None of them girly drinks with whip and sugar and spice and pumpkin in it. No, no, no. Coffee. Food made with chocolate and peanut butter. These things bring us joy for a moment, but God said, I'm bringing you great news of great joy for everyone, and it's centered and rooted in knowing Christ the Lord. Here's what I want us to see this Christmas. No matter what good or bad is happening around you, whether times for you are up or down, when you belong to Jesus, did you hear what I said? When you belong to Jesus. Unfortunately, in the Christian world, we've preached a gospel of believe in Jesus. Well, the devil believes in Jesus, but he doesn't belong to Jesus. So I'm saying when you belong to Jesus, when you've given your life over to him, the truest source of joy is complete in you. No matter what happens around you, you can be in a shipwreck, you can be in turmoil in your relationships, but you can have a deep sense of contentment and an eternal happiness knowing that I belong to the Lord Christ. Good news and great joy for all people. Man, when you get to know this Jesus, when you come to belong to him and serve him and surrender to him, there's a peace, the Bible says, that passes understanding. There's a hope that he's with us forever, and we can have joy and contentment knowing that he's ours and we're his. Now, here's what I love about joy. When you know that you can be content in the Lord, when you can have an eternal sense of happiness and contentment with God no matter what's happening around you, listen. Some of us have lost our joy because we've gotten so focused on what's temporary. We've gotten so focused on what's on the here and now, our relationship pressures, our financial realities, war and politics and Fox News. And we've lost joy. Can you just focus back on Christ the Lord and let an eternal sense of happiness and center come back into your life? Man, that's what joy is. That's joy to the world. Sometimes we go, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And you go, I wish he'd come back because this place is messed up. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep growing in Jesus. Keep spending time with Jesus. Keep belonging to Jesus. And I'm telling you, this world is not all there is. You belong to something greater. So then our joy begins to motivate. When we have this eternal sense of connectedness to God, it begins to motivate how we behave for God and how we live for God and how we love God and how we do for God and then how we love others and how we do for others. So then that brings us to the final theme of Advent, which is the theme of love. For some of us, love has become a Hallmark word. It's become a pink and red Valentine's Day emotional word. But love is about devotion and commitment to the betterment of others, and it's expressed through constant adoration and showing worth to others and giving ourselves to them. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 2. It's a passage that many of us know, we've read, and we've heard, and we've seen acted out in nativity scenes, whether live or statues. And we have this story of this gathering of people after Christ had been born to come and bring gifts and to come and worship. And one of the stories in Matthew 2 is about the coming of these wise men. Matthew chapter 2, starting verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, in Luke 2, it says in that same region of Bethlehem, Judea. So this whole thing of the shepherds in the field, this is before the day that the night that Christ was born, the shepherds are told. Matthew's account tells of another visitation of Jesus being born. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. I think this is like a good Joe Pesci movie, some wise guys from the east. That just is a lot funnier to me than you in every service. It's all right. So some wise guys from the east coast, right? Jersey, forget about it. Anyway, they came to Jerusalem saying, so these wise men from the east. Now, where are we talking about here? We're talking possibly India, Asia, Southern Europe, east of Jerusalem, east of the nation that they're in, right? These wise men have come and traveled a long distance to come to Jerusalem. And here's what they're asking. They're saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And they've come through the gatekeeper of the community, Herod, who is the leader. He's the Roman provincial governor of the area. So Rome has occupied Israel, and they've got governance there, and Herod is a governor over Jerusalem, over Israel, and he reports up to the Caesar, to Rome, that's the king. And so these wise men from another culture, another nation, come to Jerusalem, and they come to Herod, the governor who works for the king, Caesar, and they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Immediately, Herod's feeling threatened, and that is an immediate threat to Rome. And so they say, we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. And he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Now, he is bringing all the chief priests and the Jewish scribes and the leaders of the Jewish tradition, and he inquires of them, where will this Christ be born? What are these guys talking about? It's interesting to me that these wise men are not Jewish men. They're not from Jewish tradition. They're from Eastern nations with other religions and other things going on, but they had heard prophetically about this king of the Jews, and they've come to worship him. So he assembles all these leaders of the Jewish traditions, and he says, where is this Christ supposed to be born? So they told Herod, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and they quote Micah's prophecy from hundreds of years earlier. The prophet Micah said, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you, Bethlehem, shall come a ruler who will shepherd all of my people Israel. So Herod summoned the wise guys secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. He starts investigating. Tell me about this star. Tell me about this visitation. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, come and bring me word so that I too may come and worship him. By the way, this is a lie. Herod wants to kill this baby. In fact, Herod puts out an order to kill all newborns in an attempt to kill this Christ. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them until it came... The star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star resting over the place where the child was, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You should underline that, please. Verse 11, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell down. They worshiped him. Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they actually departed to their own country by another way. In other words, an angel, basically, the Lord told them, this Herod is a liar. He's wanting to kill you. And so they ended up going out a different way instead of going back to him. Now, many of us know this story because of statues in the Nativity. And we've kind of changed the story a little bit to make it fit narratives. And we've written other poetry and musicals and things and stories about. We've called it Three Kings or Three Wise Men. The truth is, the text doesn't tell us how many they are. And the text doesn't tell us that they're actually kings. At least Matthew's account calls them wise men from the east. Regardless of that, we do have that they brought these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I want to offer to you that their story is one of the greatest parts of the story of Christmas. Obviously, the coming of Jesus is a big deal, so that wins. That's the best story, okay? But I love this story, not because of who they are, not because of their clout or their stature, and not because of even what they gave, but I love their story because they were so moved with joy and devotion and elation and worship. Then they proved their love and affection and devotion to Jesus. They were motivated by joy. They expressed their joy through love for Jesus, and he would become their Lord forever. Consider some of the things that they did. It's pretty impressive how much they love this Christ, this baby they'd never even seen. They'd only heard about in a prophecy and saw a star leading them there. By the way, that's pretty bizarre. Anybody else follow a star to go anywhere? Maybe Hardee's? I don't know. Thank you. That did better than the Joe Pesci joke. But they've done quite a bit to show their expression of devotion to this baby. They left their families. They left their home. They left their palace, their place of stature and prominence. They caravanned out. They raised up a group of people to go and take this long journey, not even knowing their end destination. They didn't map quest it to the house. They had to follow a star. Like, they had done so much already, given of time and resources and money, traveled a far distance. Then they go through the gatekeeper, Herod. So they're putting out their business, and it's kind of crazy to go, yeah, we're following a star to meet the king of the Jews because we heard about a prophecy once. So they've risked their reputation. They've risked their lives. But what actually gets to me is their love for Christ evident in how they respond when they get there. Starting in verse 10, we see the first thing is they rejoiced exceedingly. Now, rejoicing is already excessive, but they rejoiced exceedingly, and then it says, with great joy. Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, in other words, when they arrived to the house, they saw it there. It says, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Have you ever rejoiced so much people told you, that's too much joy? I get you're happy, but tone it down a little, bro. They rejoiced exceedingly. They got turned up. They were crazy for this. They hadn't even met the baby. He had never done anything. He never preached a sermon, never turned food into miracles. He never raised a dead person. They hadn't even seen him yet. They saw the house where he was, and they went bananas. A couple years ago, Stephanie and I got to go to New York City for a missions thing that we were doing, a partnership dinner that we were a part of. And as part of our trip, I took her to go see a play on Broadway. We went to go see The Phantom of the Opera. And as we left the theater, we walked by another theater, their backstage area, and they had the big backstage door kind of sectioned off with the ropes, you know, to not let anybody in front of it. And there was a huge crowd of people standing behind the ropes waiting for the door to open. Probably 300 people or so standing in this big old crowd on the sidewalk in New York outside of this stage door. And I walked up to somebody and I said, what are you guys doing? What are y'all waiting on? And this guy was all nerdy. He's like, oh my gosh. That's how I remember it. He was probably pretty calm, like, well, sir. Anyway, he goes, Tom Hanks is about to come out of this door. Tom Hanks? Woody from Toy Story? Yeah, he was in a play, and he's about to come out, and I was so excited. So I looked at this crowd, and literally a couple hundred, 300 people are standing there. They got their phones out. Some of the older folks had their iPads out to video this. Some of you got that. Anyway. They're so excited. And then here's what happened. So we get in the back of the crowd because we're just like, oh, this would be cool. I've never, you know, met Tom Hanks before. And the stage door opens and he goes from the door, which was about right there on this stage, to his Jeep waiting on him, which is about right there, in about 4 seconds. And the crowd went stupid. Oh my gosh, Wilson! You know, they're quoting all these movie lines. Blah, 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 flashing all these cameras and taking all these photos, and they're trying to get a selfie with him behind him as he's running this blur, and he's covering himself. He's like, I don't want to see anybody. I'm Tom Hanks. And this crowd went absolutely goofy to get a blurry photo of a dude. But I think about these wise men from the East who went nuts because Christ had appeared. Can I just ask you, church? When's the last time you were so overcome with joy because of what God has done in your life? When's the last time you were so overcome with rejoicing that you just got a little stupid about it? In fact, can we just take 5 seconds right now and with excessive joy, just give it up to Jesus. Come on, right now. That's not excessive. That's not excessive. Come on, I'm talking about it. Like, let's jump. Let's throw. Come on, I'm talking excessive. No, nobody does that. Thank you. No, look. Everything you just did was not excessive. That's what you do when Austin Peay wins football games. That's what you do every time I go, can we thank the musicians for a great Sunday? Can we welcome our guest? Jesus is alive. That's not excessive. When's the last time you just got turned up and start spinning around in your cubicle because God has set you free? These guys went excessive in their joy. You know what happens? Why we lose excessive joy? Because we keep looking at what's happening around us. We keep thinking about how broken our family is and how messed up our car is this week and how my boss just doesn't understand me. What if we, like the wise men, hadn't even met him yet? All they had was a simple prophecy. Got stupid in the parking lot of the house. Excessive. Look at this. They rejoiced exceedingly. Man, some people say that about LifePoint. Y'all get crazy over there. You don't even know. I want y'all to get crazier. When's the last time you had excessive joy? For God, who came to this world for you so that you can have eternal life with him. That's something to get you really, 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 really excessively joyful about. Way more than Tom Hanks. Please do not keep any clips of what I just did. I'm saying that to our production team. I will fire you. I mean, I won't make it hard. We'll give you benevolence to get you on your way, but don't keep any of those clips. I think I just went, like that. Did y'all see that? I didn't do that in the other service. Man, I'll tell you, when I hear a story of how God changed a life, when God heals a person, when God restores a family, when God walks somebody through a funeral like last night. You know what was interesting? Yesterday we hosted a funeral here for the Wilsons. I've been asking you to pray for them. And it was one of the most ridiculous worship services we've had in this building in a long time. I'm talking folks running around in the front, just spinning, shouting, worship going nuts, and a body in the front of the room. It's because they know that this world isn't all there is. This life is not the only life to live because we have met the Christ. And when you met Jesus, it's excessive joy. Man, imagine living your life with excessive rejoicing because Jesus has come near to you, because you would literally shout till you can't do it anymore because he's been so good to you. And when everything terrible is going on around you, here they're dealing with threats on their life ultimately later. They're dealing with Herod kind of hustling them to try to get information out of them and gossip and drama. And they're far from their own families. And they just go nuts for Jesus. The second thing I love about this story is that they bow down and worship him. This was not a posture of regal people. This was not a posture of kings. People bow to kings. Kings don't bow to others. People bow to wise men and sages and leaders in a community. But when these wise men from the east get into the house now, look at what it says in verse 11. Going into the house now, they got stupid in the driveway. But coming into the house, they saw the child. Remember the prophecy, from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people. And they saw him. Can you imagine what you would do if you physically laid eyes on Jesus today? They saw him and they saw his mama. And it says they fell down. They didn't try to say anything. Excuse me, can I have a moment of your time, please? I've been working on this speech. They didn't say nothing. They didn't do anything but prostrate themselves before Jesus and bow down and show he has all the worth. We bow down and show him honor. We glorify him. This baby hasn't done anything yet, but he's the Christ. He's the Lord. And they postured themselves in such a way where they bowed down and worshiped him. Can I tell you, that's the posture of a person who loves Jesus. It's a life of worship. Can I tell you, worship is not singing with a band and karaoke lyrics on the screen? You ever think about that before? All we don't do is do the little bouncy ball to tell you what word you're singing next. For some of you, I feel like you need that. You're a little behind. You're like, I don't know what syllable, what's the beat? It's mostly white people, can't get the rhythm right. Sorry, white people. Worship is not singing lyrics on a screen. Listen to me. Worship is a lifestyle that says he's worthy in everything I do. Worship is a devotion. Worship is wise people and kings and regal folks and leaders and those of you that have means. It's you constantly living with an expression of bowing down your life. I bow my schedule to you, Lord. I bow my family to you, Lord. I bow my giving to you, Lord. I bow my time to you, Lord. I bow my money to you, Lord. I bow my sin life to you, Lord. Every part of me, I fall down and I worship you, Lord, because you are worthy. You are worthy of my time. You're worthy of my giving. You're worthy of my life. You're worthy of my leadership. Everything I have wants to reflect that you are worthy in my life. Tradition tells us these were wise men. They were kings or people of prominence and importance. And no, they would never bow down to anyone else, much less a baby. But they met the Christ. They met God in the flesh. And all I want for us this Christmas is to love Jesus like that. That every part of your life would express great joy that Jesus is near you. That every part of your life would honor him and worship him. How you treat your family, how we worship would be an expression of worship. How we spend and manage money would be an expression of worship. Can you imagine that your giving and your spending and what you purchase and what you give away would all be about saying, God is worthy of it all. It's not about what you can keep, it's about how you can worship God. How you spend and manage your time, how you serve your city, love your enemies, even what you scroll through on your phone would all be an expression of worship to Jesus. See, again, we've stopped the gospel message by saying, just believe in Jesus. But the truth of the gospel is belong to Jesus and show him honor and worship all the time. In everything you do, show him honor, show him worship. Boy, that changes your whole life, doesn't it? And it's not to prove anything to him. It's because he's given himself to you. I love this. Like, the baby was the greatest gift God ever gave. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And look, these wise men knew. That's what made them wise, in my opinion. As soon as they saw God's greatest gift, they fell down and worshiped him. This is a gift from God. This is the gift of God. This is the gift of God himself. What else do we do but worship him? Finally, I love that they opened their treasures and offered gifts. It was enough what they'd already done. It's more than most of us probably would do. Like, I've never met a baby that I reacted this way to. I'm a pastor. I've met a lot of newborns. My wife and I built four of them. I've never met a baby that I would travel from multinations to go visit on camelback. I might drive to Tenova or Vanderbilt in a Tahoe with AC and satellite radio all the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have already done more than any of us have ever done for a baby. They get to the parking lot and they go bananas in worship. And then they come in and they fall down and I've never done that for a new baby. But this is God. And then the overflow of joy was an expression of love. Look what they did. They opened their treasure boxes. Verse 11 says, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. What does a baby need? They didn't bring him diapers and formula. No, no, no. They brought him gold. What's a baby going to do with gold? Frankincense. I don't even know where to get that now. Does anybody know how to get myrrh? Anybody got a stash of myrrh at the house? We can just smell it. I mean, I don't even know. What's a baby going to do with frankincense and myrrh? I know about frankenberries. You know what I'm saying? The cereal. Kroger in the aisle. They've risked it all. They've traveled far. They've come a long distance. They've rejoiced. They've worshiped. And now they overflow their love. Hey, they express their love in giving. And honestly, this is where gift giving comes from. I don't know if you knew this or not, but this picture is why we give gifts at Christmas. Jesus was given gifts, and it was an overflow of their love. Now, these are wise men. These are leaders, possibly kings, we don't know. But in any culture in that day, a box of gold is worth a lot. By the way, many of you have this kind of gift now. You are in the wealthiest country in the world, and you are of the wealthiest people in the world. You're in the top 2% of wealthy of wage earners in the planet if your family makes 25 grand or more a year. You're wealthy. If you got clothing options, you're wealthy. If you drove in a metal box with air conditioning to get here, you're wealthy. And these wise men didn't have the same things that you have. They gave their best. They gave their greatest things. Frankincense and myrrh are oils and spices. But these were their best. And they gave out of love. They gave their best. Isn't that what we do at Christmas? We give based on our love for people. And it's all scalable. Like, we give the good, expensive gifts to the people we love the most. We give the medium gifts to the people we like. We re-gift last year's gift cards to the people that we work with that we feel obligated to give them a card to because they work next to us at the cubicle. We're like, hey, Merry Christmas. They open it up, they're like, didn't I give you this card last year? Some of you are feeling weird because somebody just gifted you a gift card and you're like, I think I gave you that last year. I used to give my brother gift cards with, like, change, like $8.42. I just think it's funny. Why does it have to be a round number? That's a cultural pressure I don't need to give into. You know what I'm saying? I just think that's always funny. But here's the thing, their pattern of giving is actually patterned after God, because God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is an expression of our love. It's not the only way we express love. And listen, it doesn't substitute for love, but it's an expression of love. The wise men showed their love for Jesus through giving. You and I will show our love for family and friends and others through giving. And by the way, I want to share with you something to be joyful about, and then we'll close. As a church, we express our love for our ministry partners and so many others through giving. You know, we talk about we're a church that believes in tithing, and we challenge that for all of you, and we believe that as you tithe, it allows us to do more as a church in our community and around the world. And one of the practices that we have here is we give a tithe of all the income that comes into the church. We give it away. So if the income is $100,000, the first $10,000 goes to somebody else. We just give it away. We believe that if we're gonna tithe individually, we should also tithe corporately. So we give 10% of our income away. This year we're on pace to give around, $600,000-$700,000. We actually gave above our tithe this year. But I wanted to share with you some of our year-end giving ways that because of your generosity, we were able to give. And it's because we love these people. We show love and appreciation. So above our normal monthly contributions that we give to missionaries and local partners and church planners, and again, we're adding new ones every quarter, every year, actually. This week, I got to write handwritten Christmas cards to some of our partners, and we gave on your behalf about $40,000 in gifts and bonuses and checks away this week. Thank you for your generosity. We were able to bless some of the leaders of our partners, like Nancy Alcorn with Mercy Multiplied with a Christmas gift. Mike Bartel, who is the president of Free International, rescuing women and children out of forced prostitution, sexual slavery, and human trafficking. We sent him a $10,000 Christmas gift on your behalf because we love him. Terry and Sam Allen with MVP, caring for pastors and ministry leaders who are struggling with burnout, addiction, and fatigue. Daniel and Sierra Miller, who are our missionaries from LifePoint Church. They sat here for years. Our missionaries to Djibouti got a Christmas bonus on your behalf. Thank you for your giving. Bradley and Erica Lopp, who are our missionaries to Peru. They got a gift for Christmas this year from you. And also our church planters in Stockholm, Sweden got a Christmas gift when they are not even raising their own budget yet, but they're having church every week. And we'll have 1 year anniversary coming up here in March. And you sent a Christmas cash gift to them because we love them and we love them so much. So thank you for loving them. Your love is making a difference. And one of our favorite partners that came out of this church and started an organization out of this church, YAPAX, you guys are making a huge difference. If you're not familiar with the YAPAX, it's one of the many organizations in town that's doing a great job caring for the homeless, the hungry, the needy, particularly women, children, and veterans. And they partner with so many other great organizations. But they're from here, and we love to be a blessing to them. And so Stephanie and I and the rest of our team, we got together, and we pulled a little heist, did a little singing with them. And I want to show you where your giving is making a difference this Christmas for YAPAX. Check this out.
What's up, everybody? It's Pastor Mike, Sherry Nicholson with YAPAX and some of her squad. We're so excited to have a little carpool karaoke.
There we go, Sherry.
Like this. Yep, let's get
Stephanie all the time. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
See, Stephanie, I told you to be in the front seat with your man.
All right, so last thing we want to do is just a group photo with you. Sherry's our first carpool karaoke. Great. All right, hey, now we are going to use our Christmas karaoke videos, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But actually, we brought you and your YAPAX team here because we wanted to give you a big Christmas
Christmas present on behalf of our entire church. If you look at that screen right there, we have a brand new 12-passenger van for YayPax given to you. Merry Christmas, Mr. DJ. Hey, on behalf of your church and so many people that give generously throughout the year, you know we love to give big gifts at Christmas, and we are so honored. We know YayPax does a ton for our city, and we all love being a part of coming alongside of you and what you guys are doing, and so it's our honor to present this vehicle to you. It'll be brand new, no miles on it, and we'd like to have it wrapped however you want it designed to say YayPax. Jesus today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, tone down the joy, Sherry. Tone down the joy. That's just a glimpse of the kind of gift God gave to us in Jesus. And it is so good. He's so good to us. Can I tell you that Jesus brings you hope? He fulfills your peace in this world. He's the only way that we'll have joy in a broken world, in a world full of pain. An eternal sense of contentment and connection to God. And He's the one that we love and we give our affections to. So can I ask you this Christmas as we close? We're gonna hand it back to our campus pastors in just a moment. But I wanna ask you as we close, have you received the greatest gift God's ever given? Have you received the gift of Jesus in your own life? And listen, some of you may believe that this story is true. You may believe that Jesus came, you may believe that God is real, but you've just not accepted the gift of Christ. You've not believed it enough to give your life over to Him. Can I tell you, that's the greatest gift you'll ever receive this year. It's not new AirPods or some new J's. It's Jesus. It starts with J. Have you received the gift of Christ? And here's what it looks like. You confess that you've sinned and you need Him. You believe that He died in your place so that you don't have to pay for your own sins anymore. And you commit to live your life for Him forever. That's what it means, is surrender. And say, God, I received this gift of salvation, and so now I give my life back to You. So it's a gift exchange. You receive the gift of Christ, and you give the gift of your life back to God. Hey, I don't know where you're at with that today, but it's the greatest thing we'd have happen today. Cooler than a van, cooler than $40,000 in checks that we gave away last week. You giving your life to Jesus is the greatest thing that would happen today. So I want to ask if you would, everyone stand at every location. We're going to sing in just a moment. Pastor Bo at North Clarksville will come and lead you. But I want to lead us in a prayer of receiving and giving of this gift of our lives back to Jesus. Can everybody just do this with me? Come on, let's open your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for Your church. Thank You for this time together. Thank You for the story of Christmas. Thank You, Lord God, for the greatest gift ever given. And Lord, today we receive the gift of grace, the gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation. We receive it by faith. We receive it in Jesus' name. It's the grace of God given to us that we can have salvation. And so, Lord, now we give our lives back to You completely. Lord, we submit and surrender all that we are, all that we have completely to You in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. Come on, everybody, pray this with me. Say, God, I believe that You gave Jesus to live and die and raise again for me. Say, I receive Your gift of salvation, and I give this gift of my life completely to You. Say, I'm all in, Lord. Come on, say, I'm all in. Merry Christmas, God. I'm all Yours in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, LifePoint. I love you. Hey, if you prayed that with me, I want to ask you if you would, before you go, come on, there's that connection card in the back. I know we keep asking you to get that info in, but we want to give you your next steps. Your life is not your own if you said yes to Jesus. And it doesn't mean it's ours, it belongs to the Lord. But He's charged us to help you walk that journey together. And we wanna walk that journey with you to know how to get to know God, how to find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference in the lives of other people. We believe that's God's plan for you. So there's a connection card in the seat back in front of you. If you take a moment, just fill that out on your way out. You can drop it off. And we'd love to follow up with you first of the year and give you some next steps together. Amen, everybody. Hey, well, welcome my wife, Stephanie, to the platform. So good to have you here. If you got your candle, go ahead and grab that. And every year at Christmas for the last few years, we've just ended with a little traditional moment where we sing Silent Night. Let me give you a little direction here on these candles. First of all, please be in charge of your own candle. And if you have kids, please be in charge of their candle too. Also, don't light these close to someone's hair in front of you. It's happened before. It was amazing to watch, but awful for her. I'm serious. That happened a few years ago at the school. And then if you can, please be careful with the wax on the floor, just because it's a lot. But we're going to sing together Silent Night. And it's kind of the one big traditional thing we do every year. And we'll dim the lights and grab a photo, and we'll have it shareable for you online. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope that you have a great week and a great time with family. And for some, we know that this is your first Christmas without a loved one or in a transition of relationships. And so we're praying especially for you that the peace of God and the joy of the Lord would strengthen you through this Christmas season. I encourage you, before you open any gifts, to open the gospel and read the story of Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. I will tell you, we've had another great year as a church. And I think God is doing some amazing things in our city and our county. And I just praise God that we get to be a part of it and see it in real time. I think what God has done through his church in our city is the kind of stuff that they wrote about in the New Testament. People being healed, lives being restored, growth, God adding to their number day by day, those who are being saved. Come on, somebody, that's Acts chapter 2. And so the Lord's choosing to do that here in Clarksville. And we pray for that for every city in our country. Can I hear a big amen, everybody? If you would pass your flame, you don't have to keep your light. Come on now. There's a children's story there. What's the song? This little light. I didn't grow up in church, y'all. Don't judge me. I'm gonna let it shine. All right. Thought my light went out, didn't you? Are we all lit? Back in the back? We're going to get lit, this, like, for Jesus. It's 2019. That's an expression now. You can text a flame, and that's what it means, right? Okay, let's just sing. Y'all ready? All right, if you'll hold your light up just a little bit. Here we go. Silent night. Look around. Isn't this cool? Holy night. All is calm. Christmas, may your days be filled with hope, peace, love, and joy of the Lord everlasting. Have a great week. We don't have growth track today, so we have cookies and hot chocolate for you on the way out. We will see you next Sunday and in January, next decade. Can you believe that? As we start 21 days of prayer and fasting, we love you. We're honored to serve you and your family. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Merry Christmas.